We are in a series, towards the tail end of a series called the Book of Acts. And one of the convictions for us as a church is that we want to be a church that resembles the church that Jesus launched and he calls us and wants us to be. And so we thought, what is the best way to understand who we are as a church and who we are as disciples of Jesus than to go back to the Book of Acts where it all started, where Jesus launched the church through the Holy Spirit and say, what is the church today and what is our role in bringing the good news of the gospel to the whole world? And as we sit towards the end, we're in Acts chapter 17, and in Acts chapter 17, as I studied, it reminded me of when I was young. Maybe parents, some of you will remind this. It is like, we're young, I was a red-headed kid, I got in a lot of trouble, I always pushed the boundaries. If you know my son Stephen, he sounds very similar, right? Likes to push the boundaries. Downstairs, that pole, he likes to climb up and then fall down, like, yep, all the time. And I remember this one unique time, like, my mom had these collectibles. Anybody, like, collect things that, like, you know, you go antiquing and you collect, like, my mom had collectible, like, blue plates. And they like hung up like next to the china, and we were playing running. I don't know who it was, but we were running, and you know, you had that room that you're supposed to stay out of. Who didn't stay out of that? Me. And I remember running through there, and all of a sudden I come and I'm turning the corner and I crash against the wall. I don't actually make the doorway, but I hit the wall, and you know, as you're like passing and you hear the ringing, and like it's an audible sound that you know is it goes clink, 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 and then nothing, no sound. Breaks into hundreds of pieces. And my mom comes running in the room, and she's like, cause she knows the sound and she knows what it is, and she's looking at it, and I'm like creeping back into the room, and I look at it and I was like, oh mom, I'm so sorry. And she was like, and this is the thing, my mom goes, oh, that was a plate that your dad got me for our anniversary. Yikes, I'm gonna have to earn this one back for a long time. But I remember there was one clear, distinct thing that changed in my life forever since that moment. It was the next words out of my mom's mouth. She didn't leave me there. Good parenting, right? Don't leave your kids in shame, right? Let's go. She didn't leave me there. She said a profound sentence that has ever changed my life. She goes, Austin, look at me. I love you more than my things. She's like, never, ever, ever, ever think that my love is equated on how well you behave or what you don't do. And it has changed my life forever. I have had multiple times where I had that my car that I had just gotten, and then weeks after it, we were hanging out, and all of a sudden my friend's son dings my door, and it's like that shame, like you ding your friend's door, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, hey, I love your kid more than my things. And just watching that kid's eyes go, and shoulder and all of the body just release the tension and anxiety. And all of a sudden, I just remember that that moment was something that changed my life. And in this moment when we get into Acts, that we're coming to a place where Paul is starting to speak to the wider area of people around that don't know Jesus. And he's beginning to talk to a group of people about things and that they worship. And so if you want to turn to me, like in Acts chapter 17, this is our big idea that we're talking about this morning. And this is what Paul is talking about. He says, everybody worships. Who or what are you worshiping? Who or what are you worshiping? And so turn with me to chapter 17 in the book of Acts. We'll start in verse 22. If you have it like digital in front of you, I encourage you to pull that up because we're going to start in the middle of the chapter. And if you have it in physical form, that's great too as well. Otherwise, we'll have it on the screen behind me. And so this is what it says. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. Oh wait. Now that you worship something as unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you the God who had made the world and everything in it is the Lord of the heavens and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As for some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, we are here this morning not by accident, but by your ordained plan. God, and we come in here, whether we acknowledge it or not, our deep, deep longing is for you to move from something that is unknown to known. So God, would you send the Holy Spirit to open our mind, to open our eyes, to open our ears, and open our heart for what you have for us this morning. That the longing of our heart to know you and love you might be increased this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. So Paul finds himself in a weird spot where he's invited to talk to the group of people in Athens and the leaders. And one of the things that you see is that he talks about their every god or every other. There's multitude of gods. And when we talk about this idea that everybody worships, then the question is, and even there in ancient Greek time and also in our time, is that question is like, who or what are you worshiping? Like, everybody worships. They have a multitude of worship. And whatever your choice is your choice. But we have all the gods for you, even an unknown god. And I think even in our culture today, that we have that. Like, we have what I think is a buffet of worshiping options. A buffet. Like, go around and just think for all the options that the world is going to give you. And I love myself a good buffet. Right? If you take me in a good buffet... Oh, like, you're gonna see some of these things. Like, you're gonna see the chicken nuggets for the fries and kids, right, dads, moms? Like, that's gotta be there. The barbecue is next to the Asian cuisine, right? The comfort food is next to the sushi, for some reason. The salad is next to the fried food. Oh, and then the last, but not least, if you don't have this, you don't have anything. And then the soft serve ice cream machine. All you can eat after you stuff yourself, you think you can't put anything in it more, and then your eyes see this glowing machine and you're like, yes, because one is not enough. But that really is like the idea of you go into a buffet place that if you go into a good buffet place, you have everything, French fries, pizza, all the cuisines, whatever you want. In the same way today, that if you're seeking to worship something, we have a litany of things. Not only today, but back when Paul was in Athens, he was saying the same thing, that you can worship entertainment, philosophy. You can seek after wisdom and knowledge. You can seek after beauty. We have all the sculptures that move us towards this idealized body and shape and how the body is supposed to be. Politics. If you want to be in a place where you get to argue and be in power, yeah, we can worship politics. You can be in that sphere of influence. Or if you want to be in science, you want to be on the cutting edge of what is next and what helps the world, you can worship and be involved in there. Everything has something for us. I just want to be really quick in this part of the scripture that not only are all those things known, like you can worship entertainment, you can worship people, you can worship all those things, but then Paul here says if we haven't covered everything, the Greeks did it really well. You have an unknown God. Even if you feel like, oh, I don't like any of those things, we have something unknown for you. We won't leave you out. But instead of just leaving Paul there and saying, hey, have your unknown God, have all your gods, and then let's bring in the God of the Israelites, right? The God of and the Messiah, Jesus. Instead of bringing that, he says, let me proclaim to you what you don't know yet. And this is what is really important and shouldn't be seen in just a story where we're like, oh, he's doing that to the people in Athens. That is a word for us today. That when we walk around and people who are worshipers and everybody, all of our friends, all of our neighbors, everybody worships, even if they don't know. And our job as disciples of Jesus Christ are to say, I have what you don't know. And let me proclaim it to you through my life and through my words. And that the book of Acts is not just to go into culture and say, hey, you worship this, you worship that, you even worship something you know, I worship something different, let's go. But Paul walks into the place and goes, I want you to know. I want you to know the God that you don't know right now. We are wired to worship. We are wired to give our worship to something. Something. We are wired to give it to people. What a person can do with a ball or a puck or with their feet matters to some people. Right? That we worship, that our lives are torn down or lifted up by the results of a game. This is the life that we live into. But one of the things that I know you might be thinking is like, I don't worship those things. Like, we're good Christians here. I think people at Pine Lake are pretty good. We're not that shallow. We don't worship like, you know, idols. We don't worship entertainers. We don't worship money. We don't worship any of those things. But I think the subtle things that we as disciples of Jesus in our current age today are starting to allow to creep into our lives is this different type of worship. It's the Jesus plus, name it, idolatry. That it is okay for us to have this relationship with Jesus, and that many of us would testify that we don't worship those idols, but we might testify in our lives that we have a Jesus plus this thing. Jesus plus this thing, which is then our idolatry. So that we have Jesus, but really the thing that consumes our mind and heart is time. That we love Jesus, but what consumes our mind and our heart are what are we going to do with the money that we have? That we love Jesus, but the family that we have or don't have is what consumes our minds and thoughts. That we live in this kind of dualistic place in Christianity today where we can love Jesus and have our political party. We can love Jesus and it's okay to be successful and to be driven for success. That we love Jesus, we really do love Jesus. But what people think about us and our social status matters. That we love Jesus, but when we open our social media accounts and we determined our self-worth by how many likes, how many comments, and how many posts that we have. We really love Jesus, and it's this subtle thing to say, I understand that you Christians are worshipers, but we have something that can come alongside of Jesus to make your life a little better. And we go, really? And it's like fishing. We take it hook, line, and sinker because at first it does feel really good. Is that we have Jesus, we have the hope of the resurrection, that we have life. We know that even though like I break plates and my son breaks things and we're terrible kids, that we have the hope of Jesus, the grace that covers a multitude of sins. But that grace kind of like wears out by noon. And then I need the next thing. We come to this place where this Jesus plus something is the current day Christian idolatry in my life. And I'm telling you, me too. I'm telling you, me too. Because when I sit at the end of the day or in the middle of the day in silence and solitude and say, what am I worshiping? What is consuming my time, my thoughts, my heart? That is what I'm worshiping. For me, maybe I'll just name it here. They say on average time that you pick up your phone 200 times. That's me. But there's something important for us that Paul says that we have to get past. That if this is our reality, that this is the thing that we struggle with, that I struggle with, that the broader church struggles with it, from whether you're like 5 to 95, that we struggle with this. I love Jesus and I need this. Paul says an important word for us that he said to the men and women of Athens. He said, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design or skill, right? That goes back to the golden calf, like he's naming the things. And in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he has appointed. And he has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Church, like I'm not, one of the things that I love about Paul is that he doesn't preach a soft gospel. He doesn't preach a soft gospel. If today our current ideology in Christianity is a Jesus plus something, that is a call to repent. Like one of the things that is a dulling to our witness is a thing where we love Jesus, but we look no different than society around us. What makes or breaks our day is not the time that we spent or not spent with Jesus, but it's everything else. And I'm not saying that we should be distinct or pulled away from the world, and the things that happen to you day to day don't matter. They do. But when you lay your head down on the pillow, what's the last thing that comes to your head? And I've been trying to practice the daily rhythm of this thing called Lectio Divina, where it's your being in scripture. And I was convicted by the word that says in the nightly Lectio, it says, and I lay my head down in the hope of the resurrection to come. I don't hope in the resurrection of a new day where I can fix the things of yesterday. But I lay my head down in the hopes of the resurrection that if I never wake up again, that I will see Jesus face to face and all will be well with my soul. This is the life that we are called to live. The life that says that my hope is deposited in Jesus alone. There's nothing in my life that will be anything. So I'm rejecting this idea of Jesus plus influence, Jesus plus political party, Jesus plus enough money, Jesus plus a little bit of the next promotion, that my faith and life and built, I have my being in Jesus and Jesus alone. And this is the hardest thing. This is the hardest, hardest thing. And you might be like, Austin, it feels like right now that yes, we are all worshipers, and what you're doing is saying and being legalistic in what you can't worship. Repentance does have its place. Repentance has its very real place in a life of a disciple of Jesus. Is that you turn away from the life and the hope that you put in things that let you down. But it is not only that. That is a portion of it. The fullness of worship is your offering and your testimony to Jesus. That I have turned from something and to Jesus. I have turned from worshiping time, money, parties, success, and I turn to Jesus. The gospel is not about saying that we're turning away from the idol of our choice, but saying yes to Jesus, saying yes that Jesus, you get my heart. Yes, Jesus, you get my thankfulness. Jesus, you get my success. Jesus, you get my time. Jesus, you get my purpose. Jesus, you get my dreams. Jesus, you get my, even if everything doesn't turn out okay. Because when I lay my head down, I will put my hope in the resurrection to come. Jesus, you are more than worthy of my praise and my adoration. You are more than worthy of thankfulness for all that you have done and yet to do. You are worthy of the praise of the things that I've asked you to and you have kept me from, because I know the things that I want are not always the things that I need. That Jesus, you are worthy of all of my worship, of every one of my breaths, every one of my words, every one of my thoughts, every one of my actions. God, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. To him be the glory. This is our offering to Jesus, to say, I walk into the buffet and the myriad and out here of all the things that could have my worship. And Jesus, you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. It's not only your offering, but it is also your testimony. Is that when you go around in the world and you see people who don't know Jesus, even followers of Jesus who live a life of that dualistic, and you say, the life that you're leading is so unfulfilled. That my testimony is, let me tell you about a Jesus who life flows from him and into me. Jesus even said this in his own words in John chapter 4. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Your testimony is not that you are Jesus. You are the woman at the well. We are the people that have tried other things to fulfill our lives. We are every idolatrous, every person that the lawmaker, the philosopher, all the people that have come to Jesus, the people want to say, how do I get to heaven? How do I have a life beyond what I'm engaging with right now, because it is not the one that's fulfilling me? And Jesus says, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life that will never run dry. How many of us have gotten to the end of whatever is our influence and our worship and felt lacking? And then the beautiful moment is when we turn to Jesus and we say, you are the only thing. You are the only thing in my life that doesn't let me down. The one that has stood there yesterday, the one that is standing next to me today, and the one that will stand with me for the rest of the days of my life. Our testimony is to invite friends to say, when you get to the end of whatever you worship, let me introduce you to a Jesus who brings life and brings life abundantly. This is our testimony. This is our testimony, not that we are Jesus offering life, but we are the people that said, hey, I've been there. I've been worshiping whatever happens, and then if it doesn't turn out my way, I've been disappointed for seasons and for years. But then I found Jesus. And no matter whatever happens in any season, in and out of goodness, in and out of hills and valley, there is life in him. That our testimony to the world is that our worship that we offer to Jesus doesn't return void. That Jesus says his word is living water, that it never returns void. 100% guarantee return on your investment. But not like the world offers it. It's not instant. But the time you spend in solitude with him, the time you spend in scripture, the time you spend in prayer, the time that you spend in Sabbath resting with Jesus never returns void. There's always something for you. Not because you deserve it, but because he is worthy of it all. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, this morning would you continue to speak as you have been. If I haven't been listening, God, I repent. And I tune my ears to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to us this morning? What word do you have for us? For me? Holy Spirit, as we listen to you, God, may it not be a word about our jobs, about our parenting, about our friendships. God, Holy Spirit, what is a word that you want to say deep down into our souls? Holy Spirit, what are you asking us to put aside in our lives and be in an honest reflection of what do I worship? Holy Spirit, we are your people, you are our God. Have your way in us this morning.